Everyone, the Ways and Means meeting will come to order. Clerk will note the roll. There is a quorum. We have the minutes of April 9th before us. Representative Carlson moves approval of the minutes of April 9th. Are there any questions, additions, changes to the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Okay, members of the committee, we have four bills tonight. There have been a number of bills withdrawn that, for whatever reason, aren't going to come up tonight, but we do have four, and then we'll be taking up the targets. And the first is House File 3703, Representative Barr, if you could come forward. And Representative Barr, welcome to the Committee on Ways and Means. The Chair will move that House File 3703 be referred to the General Register. Representative Barr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 3703 would require MnDOT to modify its Highway Investment Plan, MnSHIP, to prioritize handling congestion in the metro area. Minnesota's 12,000-mile state highway plays a key role in our economy and in our quality of life. Currently, only $240 million over the next 20 years is earmarked for mobility or congestion relief. Meanwhile, in his State of the State address, Governor Dayton said, another crucial area for infrastructure investments is in transportation. Everyone driving in our state knows that traffic congestion and highway conditions keep getting worse, wasting their time and straining their sanity. This legislation would require MnDOT to allocate funds that are sufficient to have an impact on congestion. Currently, user fee lanes are prioritized over general purpose lanes. More recently, there has been discussion about implementing toll roads broadly throughout the Twin Cities, which would contribute to congestion. That's why it's critical that MnDOT build requirements into the MnSHIP plan and incorporate those requirements into the statewide multimodal transportation plan. I'd also like to share just a couple of key statistics. Since 2010, MnDOT's strategy has shifted from reducing congestion toward providing alternatives to congested travel. In addition, they've moved from approximately 6.9% investment in congestion relief to 1.1% in 2017. The Twin Cities roadways have also made headlines in that they have been listed in the top 100 worst traffic bottlenecks, and the Twin Cities has four of the 100 worst in the U.S. And so with that, Mr. Chair, I'm happy to stand for questions.
All right. Anyone have any questions for Representative Barr? No. Oh, Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to make the point that I think it's widely assumed that if you build more lanes, you address the congestion situation. But that's just not been borne out around the country. For example, the San Diego Freeway in Los Angeles, they put in $1.1 billion over recent years, and there's been no appreciable congestion relief. The Katy Freeway in Houston, $2.8 billion. They expanded that road to 23 lanes, and traffic increased. Congestion increased 55% in the evening rush, 30% in the morning rush. So what we're doing, in essence, is throwing money at this problem and not solving it. And in the meantime, we're not going to be paving potholes. We're not going to be doing additional maintenance and safety. And I just think it's bad fiscal policy and it's bad transportation policy, Mr. Chair.
Representative Perkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hornstein, for bringing up those important items. But I think it's also important to remember that some construction is absolutely necessary and extremely helpful. We can all, I think, in our own minds, identify bottlenecks around the metro area. I'm a country boy, but I do drive around the city once in a while. And there are areas where, for one reason or another, the design wasn't adequate when it was first installed, or things have changed dramatically over time. There are needs for construction of new lanes and better interchanges, and I think Representative Barr's bill just emphasizes that we understand that need and that we need to invest at least some of our transportation dollars in further construction. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Other questions of the author? Representative Loon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, really not a question, but just a comment also. I wanted to thank Representative Barr for bringing this attention to a really important issue. And again, just to key off of Representative Torkelson's comments and to Representative Hornstein, you know, I've heard these comments before that we can't build our way out of the congestion, but, you know, we're not really even trying in some cases. And I think with a multimodal transportation system, we can't rely on just one way to get a relief from some of the congestion. And I know there's investments being made in transit and that, but that can't be the only thing. And we do have some very dangerous intersections that are safety hazards and just a problem. And if we're going to continue to grow, I mean, we've seen the metro area grow by 250,000 people, the seven-county metro area, in 10 years. 84% of the growth in the state of Minnesota has occurred in the seven-county metro area. That's where a lot of these trigger spots are. If we're going to be able to get people around to work and to move goods and services, because, again, it's not just moving people. It's moving trucks that bring in the goods and that we all purchase. We're going to have to make some investments in this. So I appreciate very much your attention to this issue.
All right, Representative Barr, any closing comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just ask respectfully for your support of this bill. Thank you.
All right, with that, Chair will renew his motion that House File 3703 be referred to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
A motion prevails. House File 3703 is referred to the General Register.
Thank you.
Next up, we have House File 2829. Representative O'Driscoll, welcome to the Committee on Ways and Means. The Chair will move that House File 2829 be referred to the General Register. Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 2829 is the result of a few years of work with Minnesota Appraisers and the Department of Commerce to create an appraisal advisory board. And in Minnesota's history, we have had an appraiser's advisory board previously, and it really was not properly constructed, so we stripped it from statute. And what we're doing now is we're reconstituting that under a different plan and with different membership. And this is supported by the Department of Commerce as well as the appraisers. And the purpose for us here being here this evening is that there's a fiscal note of an estimate of $5,000 for the next 2 years in the biennium that deal with asking the department to absorb that $5,000 for per diems for members. This is going to be a statewide board that's going to be represented, so there may be mileage and per diems that would keep it constant and consistent with the other boards and advisory councils that exist throughout the state of Minnesota that was created by the legislature. And that is the sole purpose for our visit today, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. Any questions for Representative O'Driscoll or comments on the bill? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative O'Driscoll, who serves on this board?
Representative O'Driscoll.
Well, Representative Fabian, right now, no one, because the board doesn't exist. But if you take a look at the bill itself, starting on starting at line 1.12 into the middle of the next page, it will give you a list of the different representatives. Be people from different appraisal expertises. It'll also be people from the real estate sales industry, licensed under Chapter 82 and Chapter 82B, which are the appraisers and the real estate licensing law, among others.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative O'Driscoll, if you have someone from Roseau on here and you're going to have a number of meetings, your per diem and mileage probably at $5,000 won't last very long.
Well, Representative O'Driscoll.
We'll try to schedule where they can ride with you from Roseau, Representative Fabian.
Other questions? Representative O'Driscoll, any last comments?
Your support is appreciated. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
With that, the Chair will renew his motion that House File 2829 be referred to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. House File 2829 is referred to the General Register.
Thank you, Chair members.
Next, we have Representative Erdahl, House File 3301.
Thank you.
Representative Erdahl moves that House File 3301 be referred to the General Register. And Representative Erdahl, I see there's an amendment. Do you want to take the amendment first or explain the bill?
We could do the amendment first.
Okay. Representative Erdahl moves the A18-0621 amendment. And I think this is most, well, you want to explain the amendment?
It just changes the funding source.
Okay. Changes the funding source,
to the
people can
fund.
See, to the general fund.
Yeah.
Okay, any discussion to the 0621 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails, the amendment is adopted. To your bill, Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members, this is kind of part two of what we did last year. I'll just give you a quick review of what the bill does or did and what we're trying to do now. We all know that drivers are supposed to stop when the red stop arm comes out on a school bus. Each year in Minnesota, we survey our bus drivers and ask them to count the violations that occur in one day. 2,700 drivers took part in a recent survey. There were about 10,000 trips a day. In the past 5 years, there were 533 school bus crashes, resulting in 7 deaths and 211 injuries to those involved. The average count in Minnesota is 400 violations per day, or approximately 72,000 per year. We get about 300 convictions per year. And what we did last year is change this to increase the penalty from $300 to $500. And I never believed that that was the sole solution to this problem. And it was suggested, perhaps even in this committee last year, but certainly in one or two of the committees, that a public service campaign to help folks understand better and increase the knowledge of this this law would be important. And so what this does is it provides $50,000 for a public service campaign to inform people about school bus violations, stop arm violations. That's what it is.
All right. Discussion to the bill as amended. See no discussion. All in favor of House File 3301 as amended being referred to the General Register, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. House File 3301 is referred to the General Register.
Thank you.
Finally, we have House File 3824. Representative Torkelson moves that House File 3824 be referred to the General Register. And Representative Torkelson, I see you have the A3 amendment. Do you want to move that now?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that amendment to get the bill in the shape I would like.
Okay, Representative Torkelson moves the A3 amendment. And what is the A3 amendment, Representative Torkelson?
The A3 amendment, there's a bit of rulemaking in the bill, and the cost of that rulemaking needs to be accommodated, and that's what the amendment does.
Okay. Any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the A3 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. The A3 amendment is adopted. To your bill concerning boring and wells, Representative Torkelson.
Yes. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. In the past, I've introduced this as a boring bill, but I'm trying not to do that tonight. We're going to concentrate on the well part, and I hope the bill does well, Mr. Chair.
I got a better laugh at
the boring deal. Anyway, there were some changes in the way we handled the temporary borings that was causing a lot of extra paperwork and some fees being paid for wells that were really insignificant. And this legislation really brings them back into line so that these temporary shallow borings can be handled without requiring a permit or paying a fee, as long as they're properly sealed and handled by the contractors that are dealing with them. And that's the basis of the bill, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Questions for Representative Torkelson. Representative Wagenius.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Torkelson, I don't know why people would be doing temporary boring wells. Just, could you help us out there?
Representative Torkelson.
Mr. Chair, Representative McGinnis, is I think in general, and we've got people here that can testify, but in general it's just to figure out what the geology is at a particular building site to discover what the, you know, what kind of formations might be lying just below the surface if you're going to dig a new foundation or put in a new, basement-type structure. You want to know what's down there. So you drill a hole, find out what you've got.
Other questions for Representative Torkelson? Well, seeing no further questions, I'll resist my urge to ask some others I might have and say that Representative Torkelson renews his motion to House File 3824 as amended to be referred to the General Register. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. House File 3824 as amended is referred to the General Register.
Representative Clarence Perfirst was quite well known for some of his humor on the Senate floor and in Senate committee, and I wonder if he isn't going to have, in his memory now, some competition.
From Representative Torkelson?
Where did he go?
Representative Garofalo, maybe. Representative Baby, maybe.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, members, the last item before us tonight is the budget targets. And at this point, I will move the resolution BRES-01, which is the budget target resolution. And members, I'll run through and briefly highlight and explain each of the items as we go forward here so that people understand what the budget targets are that we're proposing to enact tonight. I think it's probably easiest for people to follow along on the spreadsheet, but officially what we are, of course, adopting is the actual resolution itself. The spreadsheet, we are proposing in education a target of $30,223,000. Of course, this will be something that is worked into the committee. The committee will come up with the bill on how to spend this money, but I should say that I expect a significant portion of this money would be spent on school safety. In higher education, we have a target of $5 million. Taxes, we have a target of $107,445,000. The reason for that somewhat specific number is that the tax committee is continuing to work on a tax conformity plan that comes out to that particular number, not including some other money set aside for various other tax initiatives that the committee would have that are also included within the $107,445,000. In health and human services, we have a target of $10 million. My understanding that this is sufficient to restore the DWRS 7% cut that would otherwise take place. I think a lot of people have been getting emails or contacts about the concern of having this 7% cut to workers that take care of disabled people. We had actually voted for this money last year and thought we had addressed this problem, but a ruling by the federal CMS agency has thrown it back in our lap, and we're trying to fix it now and believe that with this we can do so. In environment and natural resources, we're proposing funding of $750,000 as an increase, in particular to deal with the chronic wasting disease problem. In agriculture, we're proposing $250,000, which my understanding is money that the chair and committee wishes to primarily direct to some mental health counseling issues for farmers. Transportation, we have a proposal of spending $101 million. I believe that this will substantially be spent on roads and bridges. I think members know, especially after our discussion last year, that we are behind in taking care of our roads and bridges in this state. They need some additional funds, and so we're making a significant investment here, proposed investment, out of the total $329 million that's available into roads and bridges. In public safety, we have $7,119,000. I understand from the chair that there are a number of initiatives there, but one in particular I want to highlight, which the governor also funded, is about $3.7 million for guardian ad litems to take care of children in the state that are basically have been suffering abuse and need to be counseled and cared for, and we just don't have the staffing right now to deal with the additional children that have come on the caseload. In the jobs and energy area, we have a target of $15 million, which I understand is the amount of money that is going to likely be proposed to be spent on broadband. In the state government area, we have a minus $7 million target. In the capital investment area, we have a change of $8,893,000. And this funding would really, in a sense, be two parts. One would be, as members know, traditionally with a bonding bill, there are some items that for legal reasons we can't actually bond for, yet they are capital projects, and we are allocating $8.5 million of this funding for capital projects. The other $393,000 is additional debt service that would allow us to have an $825 million bonding bill instead of the $800 million bonding bill that was in the forecast. And this additional $25 million we anticipate will be spent on school safety improvements as outlined in a proposal by the House Republicans some weeks ago. Finally, we have $50,600,000, the remainder set aside kind of on the bottom line for other bills and just a bottom line number. I guess I chose in bringing this resolution forward not to try to split this number between other bills and just the bottom line, because at this point we just still don't know what other issues might possibly come up. But certainly there are a number of issues that are being talked about, pension bills, opioids, funding for vulnerable adults that certainly could be a part of the other bills category, as well as some of the traditional items that are always there, such as the claims bill. I should also mention a couple of other funds that we're setting targets for down at the bottom. We have the cash flow account that we would be setting a target for of $350 million. We are proposing to have $75,391,000 more added to the budget reserve. People in the committee here may recall a discussion we had a few weeks ago where we talked about the premium subsidy account and the premium security account. The premium subsidy account is the money that last year we took from the budget reserve, around $300 million, to give a rebate of 25% to people on their health insurance. There's about $75 million of that left. The governor has proposed spending that money, but we feel that we should be continuing to try to add to our budget reserve in terms of being fiscally responsible. There wasn't any money set aside in the budget reserve this last November, as there have been a number of previous Novembers, because there was an actual budget deficit forecasted at that time. So the one-third of any surplus that usually would have been set aside was not set aside. So this $75 million that really is surplus funds from this particular program, we're looking at putting into the budget reserve. Finally, people will recall we had a discussion of the stadium reserve back when we had the budget forecast discussion and Commissioner Franz in here some weeks ago, and it was noted that the stadium reserve had been at a balance of $26,821,000, but was actually growing by $31 million, more than doubling this biennium, and then doubling again in the next biennium by $62 million. And that, to me, seems unreasonable. I don't think we need that much money in the stadium reserve. There isn't at this time any legal limit on how large the stadium reserve can be. It just doesn't seem to me like we need to have years of payments in the stadium reserve. And so I'm proposing to cap that stadium reserve amount at the $26,821,000 that it has been at. Finally, if you look at the back of the actual budget resolution itself, you'll note that we are setting some targets for some of the health care funds. We're setting a zero target in terms of no additional spending for the health care access fund. We're proposing to set a target of zero in the resolution for the basic health program trust fund account. And finally, a limit of zero for the premium security plan, which is basically the reinsurance account as separated from the premium subsidy program, which we're proposing to take the surplus that is in that and give it back to the budget reserve. Members, I think that, you know, we set our two-year budget last year. We, of course, operate on a two-year budget. I think that, by and large, we met the needs that we had last year with the budget that we passed. But there are always issues that come up. The school safety issue is one issue that has really arisen more in the last year. We didn't think that we were going to have to be dealing with tax conformity a year ago, but, of course, now we are, and so we are setting aside a significant amount of money for tax conformity. We didn't anticipate that we were going to have the federal CMS agency basically cancel, essentially, the $10 million we had set aside for workers that work with the disabled, but they did, and so now we're coming back and proposing to restore that funding so that they don't have the pay cut that they're otherwise going to get. And there are, of course, some other areas as well that have cropped up as new challenges, new things that we need to deal with as a state, as well as areas that just need continued funding, such as road and bridges, where we are proposing to put a significant amount of new funding. So with that, members, that is the budget resolution that I'm proposing, and I stand for questions. I know there are some amendments. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, in terms of your summary, a couple of areas that I'd like to go back to for a little further information. One of them is state government. The negative number. And could you explain a little bit more what's taking place with the state government target?
Sure. Well, and of course, you know, I want to say as a prelude that these are the targets, of course, that we're giving the committees. The, you know, various spending initiatives I talked about are ones that I believe are going to be done by those committees, but of course the committees are the ones that vote on these initiatives. In regard to the state government account of the minus $7 million. And we talked about this earlier, Representative Carlson. I'm glad you brought this up for clarification. The stadium reserve is an account within the state government account. And so if we're taking $31 million from the stadium reserve and giving that or including that in the state government target, and then they're having a minus $7 million target, it means that actually they have the potential to spend an additional $24 million because that roughly $31 million, $30.8 million is actually in that state government account.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, just as a follow-up, during our brief discussion you referenced what might happen relative to the state agencies. Is that strictly up to the committee then?
Representative Carlson, yeah, I mean, what they might do with state agencies is really up to the committee, yes.
Okay, because there was a thought that you had, I'll put it that way, about what could conceivably happen there, and I just want to clarify then there may or may not be a cut to the state agencies depending on what happens with that 24 minutes. Am I clear on that?
I think that would be fair to say yes.
Okay. The other area that you and I had a little discussion about earlier was pensions, and it was my understanding that already committed, in a sense, in the other bills category was the funding of the pensions at 27 or 28 million. I think it was 27 is the number that we talked about earlier. And I know there's some pension people here in the audience, so maybe some clarification on what the intent there is relative to the other bills and the $50,600,000.
Well, I think what I can say about that is that, you know, we're not looking at this point at carrying the pension bill within the state government target. but there is obviously sufficient money in that $50.6 million other bill category to carry the pension bill.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, I was assuming that would be a separate bill when we talked about it being incorporated into the other bills category. And
I'm expecting
I think you and I concurred that the need was somewhere in that $27 to $28 million.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I guess I think at this point I would say, yes, it's, you know, it's not something that we are looking at carrying as part of the state government bill. I think that properly it's the sort of bill that should be on a standalone kind of a basis.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, that's what the Senate did. We'd be tracking the Senate. I would think that would be a good idea to track it separately myself. At any rate, those were just two areas that I just thought we should have some clarification. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions on the budget resolution before we turn to amendments? All right. I know I see a few amendments. They don't have to be offered, but does anyone want to offer any amendments? Oh, Representative Hausman wants to offer an amendment. Representative Hausman.
Mr. Chair, I think the A1 is mine.
Yeah, the A1 is your amendment.
Yeah.
Okay. Representative Hausman moves the A1 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In 2015-16, in the entire biennium, we did just roughly about $180 million in GO bonding. When you have 2 years like that, there's a big backlog. And I think that's what we're dealing with here. There was a good bill in 2017. But once before, in recent history, we've had a time like this. In 2005 and 2006, when Speaker Spigum was in office and Eric Paulson was majority leader and Dan Dorman was the chair of capital investment, we had had previously years with very little geobonding. And so there were significant, in 2005 and 2006, 2 years in a row, bills roughly $1 billion that were sort of catching up with that backlog. And I think we're at that point now. When I visit with people in my office, I often cite, and you've probably heard me say this before, that in 1998, Arne Carlson was the first governor to sign a $1 billion bonding bill. If we just factored in inflation, if we were doing the same for infrastructure as they were doing back then, we would be doing roughly $1.5 billion. But believe it or not, that's not what I'm advocating in this amendment. I'm wanting to get just closer to about $1 billion than this budget resolution is. If we didn't have the capacity, I would absolutely not be proposing this because we want to be responsible. But during the Pawlenty administration, they wrote some debt capacity guidelines. We take those very seriously. We always measure our capacity relative to those guidelines. We always stay within them. They're a percent of personal income as we measure. And with operating within those guidelines, we're a low-debt state compared to others. I think per capita, I think we rank something like 19th in across the nation. So we've been responsible as a state. As people visit in my office, which they do in great numbers right now, a lot of people around this state have a lot at stake in that bonding bill. And so they're coming to tell their story. And as I listen to them and they conclude their pitch about their project, I always say, now I'm doing reverse lobbying, and now you have to help me. You have to help me get a bigger bonding bill. The bigger the bonding bill, the more likely your project will be in, and the smaller the bonding bill, the less likely. That's just the way it goes. When you start with $4 billion worth of requests, we're going to say no more often than we're going to say yes. And so as they tell their stories, that weighs heavily on me, and I know they understand this. Talk to communities around, everybody sort of gets that. They believe we're being responsible. They know how important infrastructure is to the economic health and competitiveness of the state, and
So this amendment allows us to be just a little more aggressive at closer to a billion than 800, and it provides some cash because there are some ways we can be creative in some of these projects. We've looked at some of them already. Some of them simply can't be done with GO bonding, and others, if we do them in that way, we can just be a little more flexible and creative about it, so it provides for a little cash as well as GO bonding. So that is... And I'd like a roll call, please, Mr. Singer.
Okay, roll call is requested. Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, members, I was just talking to Chairman Erdahl the other day, and he said we had a bonding bill last year and we don't need one this year. Or no, wait, you didn't say that. That was someone else. I'm sorry. That was someone else.
I know.
So I just... sorry. So, no, but in all seriousness... Yeah. But, I mean, in serious, we did pass a pretty robust bonding bill last year, and I think a bonding bill this year is nice. I don't think it's necessary, but certainly funding this out of the budget reserve seems to be kind of penny-wise and pound-foolish, and I would ask members to vote no on this just because that budget reserve, as the Chairman Knobloch said earlier, that's something that should be going up, not down, and I would encourage members to vote no on it.
Members, I guess I would also encourage you to vote no. You know, when you think about how the budget forecast is set up, the way we set it up is we look off in the bonding area for what the average of the last 10 years of bills have been in the bonding year. And actually, it's a little bit less than $800 million, but the Office of Management and Budget decided to call it $800 million this year, and that's fine. We're actually proposing to boost it up a little bit more than that average by going up an additional $25 million with this budget resolution. So we are actually going up a little bit higher than the average, a little bit more than what the budget forecast would normally call for. You know, Representative Hausman, you say, well, we're a low-debt state. We're only 19th of the 50 states. Well, you know, we're in the top 10 in all sorts of taxes. I don't have any desire to get into the top 10 and the amount of debt we have per person either. And, you know, I guess to me, being 19th out of 50 doesn't strike me as exactly being a low debt state. Maybe we're an average or a somewhat above average state, but a low debt state would be in the 30s or 40s, not number 19. And I actually remember back 15, 20 years ago when I was here the first time around, heavily involved in bonding, we were more like 25th. And so we have moved up steadily over the years so that now we're 19th of 50 states. I don't think that we should be trying to move ourselves up by borrowing even more. And we are proposing to do a little bit more than the forecast with this budget resolution. And so I'd ask people to reject the amendment. A, I don't think we need that much more debt. And B, I don't think we should be taking it out of the budget reserve to fund it. Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, on that last point, we're not taking it out of the budget reserve. Those are dollars that are not in the budget reserve yet. That's a new initiative. So I would just challenge you a bit on how we interpret that $75 million. The other thing I would like to point out, there are different ways you can measure what we should be spending on our infrastructure, and one of the measurements, obviously, is the need. And those of us on the Capital Investment Committee traveled the state. You were with us in a lot of those meetings, maybe all of them. And we saw firsthand that there are huge infrastructure needs across the state of Minnesota. And the other thing is that we've learned at least one major way when we had a bridge collapse, what happens when we don't maintain that infrastructure. In that case, there were lives lost and a huge cost in replacing that bridge. So when you've got aging infrastructure, the point is that it's high risk. We had a presentation in capital investment the other day of a aging bridge in the Plymouth area, and I happen to represent part of Plymouth. It wasn't in my district in Plymouth, but we clearly saw that there was a huge need for that bridge. And the only reason I point to that one, and hopefully it'll be funded in the end one way or another, but it's obviously at risk when you look at the photographs and so on. It looks to me rougher than one of the photographs that I saw after the fact with the 35W bridge collapse. So my only point is across this whole state we have a huge infrastructure need. And the other way we can talk about the capital investment bill is our capacity. And I forget the exact number, but it's somewhere upwards of $3 billion when we talk about debt capacity. And I've been a bit troubled for some time about the way we use that averaging to determine what the size of the bonding bill. You know, another equally valid way to measure what it should be is inflation, as Representative Hausman pointed out when back in the late 1990s we passed a $1 billion bill. And if you were to adjust that for inflation, which would be another way of measuring it, it would be at $1.5 billion. So, Mr. Chairman, I would stop there, but I do have major concerns about our infrastructure, and I think we have to keep on top of it.
Representative Riddle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members. And you know, certainly the plan is to do a bill, you know, very heavy on infrastructure. I don't think anyone should minimize the need. We certainly do have need, but I'm confident that we can put together a very good bill, heavy on infrastructure, at $825
million. Representative Hausman.
Thank you. Just two more points. Because of our responsible use of debt, all three rating agencies still rate us high. I mean, that so they're looking at our use of debt, and they send a message. And actually, I don't want to be at the bottom, because what investment in infrastructure gets us is quality of life, and it also gets us an economy that's healthy and competitive. That's a good thing for the state. And that's what wise investment in infrastructure does. I do want to talk just a bit about this historic level that MMB always uses. I have to tell you, I always have this argument with them. If all you ever do is factor in the forecast the same dollar amount, 800, 200, 800, 200, and then prices go up, the economy, you know, inflation or whatever, prices go up, that means you're using numbers that keep you trapped in the past. It means you never think higher in terms of investment. Over 10 years, you invest the same from year one to year 10. And so this has been an ongoing kind of a debate that I've had with MMB, that use of historic data does not ever get us to a point of adjusting for inflation and higher costs. So I'd encourage support.
Okay, and members, I guess just one other point I need to make in terms of the I-35 bridge. I guess I don't know if we're on TV or not, but if we are, for those that are watching, you know, I guess I would disagree with the characterization that was made that the I-35 bridge collapsed because we weren't taking care of our infrastructure. As a matter of fact, first of all, it was well documented that there was a design flaw with the bridge that contributed to the collapse, and actually the bridge had construction equipment on it at the time, because construction work was being done on the bridge, and apparently the extra weight of that gravel and construction equipment contributed, as I understand it, to the collapse of the bridge. And so I don't think, while we have many infrastructure needs, and I would completely agree with Representative Carlson on that, I guess I don't know that I would say that lack of maintenance of that particular bridge led to its falling. It was a case of it having a design flaw in the first place. And we are, of course, proposing in the transportation portion of the budget resolution to put in some significant additional money for infrastructure, as well as the money that Chair Erdahl talked about would be in the bonding bill. But Representative Carlson.
Well, Mr. Chair, we could debate the cause of the 35W bridge collapse, but I would just remind you, being the gentleman from St. Cloud, that after that, one of the bridges that was cited as being high risk, and I think may have been closed, or they had to reduce the weight on the bridge for traffic. I'm not sure what the exact outcome was, but that was in St. Cloud. And then there was one down in Winona, if I recall correctly, because we started to look very carefully at the bridges. But I just use that as an example. My main point was that we have huge infrastructure needs across the state of Minnesota, and that's why I was encouraging a yes vote on the Houseman Amendment. But thank you.
I certainly would agree that we have big infrastructure needs, but I would, for the reasons given before, encourage a no vote. Representative Houseman, it is your amendment. Anything else you want to add? Okay. With that, the clerk will take the roll on the Houseman A1 amendment.
Representative Knobloch?
No.
Representative Carlson?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Baker?
No.
Representative Davids?
No.
Representative Dean?
No.
Representative Detmer?
No.
Representative Drazkowski? Representative Fabian?
No.
Representative Garofalo?
No.
Representative Gunther?
No.
Representative Hamilton?
No.
Representative Houseman?
Yes.
Representative Hertaus? Representative Hillstrom?
Yes.
Representative Hornstein?
Yes.
Representative Liebling?
Yes.
Representative Loon?
No.
Representative Marcourt?
Yes.
Representative Murphy? Representative Nornes?
No.
Representative Pawlowski?
Yes.
Representative Poppy?
Yes.
Representative Torkelson?
No.
Representative Erdahl?
No.
Representative Wagenius?
Yes.
Like Torkelson.
All right, members, there being 9 ayes and 14 nays, the Houseman A1 amendment is not adopted. Next, I know there's a couple of other amendments. Representative Marcourt, I'll recognize you for an amendment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the A2 amendment.
Representative Marcourt moves the A2 amendment. Representative Marcourt, please explain your amendment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. What this amendment would do would raise the amount on the resolution for education, $9.6 million. It would be a 32% increase over the current House proposal. It matches the governor's proposal. The money would be taken out of the reserves, that $9.6 million, and still would leave an increase of $65 million to reserves, as in this resolution. The big issues that have been talked about in education, and Chair Knobloch, you mentioned this, number one is the safe schools. And what we've heard from superintendents throughout is kind of two main areas. One is facilities, and that could be things like making the locks on the doors more secure, making entrances to buildings more secure, kind of facility things to make our schools safer. And then the other side of the coin is in the personnel. So it might be a school resource officer, it might be mental health counselors, and so forth. So that is, and I think everyone around the table that I've heard this year, that's the number one priority for education. And so that would be number one. The other area we've really heard a lot about is trying to get to the cross-subsidy on the special education. And we know that amount is probably about $750 million statewide. We're certainly not going to get there in any short time. But the governor's proposal not only addresses the safe school levy in other areas, but also starts to take ways to try to eliminate and reduce that cross-subsidy and special education. So it's a 32% increase, $9.6 million, not huge. But I think when we're dealing with the school safety concerns and other things, I think it would be nice to leave a little bit more wiggle room there. And even at 39.8, it's 12.1% of the $329 million surplus. So, you know, it's not a huge amount there. But I think this is reasonable, and I'd ask members for their support. And a roll call, please, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Marquardt requests a roll call. Well, members, I guess I'd oppose the Marquardt Amendment. You know, you can look at percentages different ways, and one way is the way that Representative Marquardt looks at it, but another way is to look at how much money we are spending on education in total, which if you look at the third column of the spreadsheet for 18 and 19 is $18,865,000,000. And so the roughly $9 million difference that Representative Marquardt is talking about between what we're proposing in additional spending and what he's proposing is 0.0005%. It's not much of a difference. And, of course, we are planning and proposing, one of the reasons we're bringing forward this budget resolution with $25 million more in capital investment is to give $25 million to school districts for precisely some of the same school safety issues that Representative Marquardt is talking about. And so for those who are watching, understand that we have other funds going towards school safety besides just the education dollars that are being talked about in this amendment. But it is what I find, you know, kind of curious about the two amendments that I've seen so far and the other one that's filed is all of them take the money from the budget reserve. And, you know, it's interesting to me that, you know, they're not even taking it from other bills. We're saying they're taking it from the budget reserve. The state economist says that we should be building up that budget reserve higher. There are some people that are saying that the economy is in a situation where, well, if you look at the budget forecast that came through here this last February, it didn't have as large of a surplus as we have seen in recent years. And so I think we should be putting some more money into our rainy day fund to be prepared if we need it. And so, you know, we're proposing to put $75 million more in this amendment than the previous amendment. The amendment that is coming is all taking money out of the rainy day fund. And so, members, I guess I just don't think that's prudent, and I appreciate Representative Marquardt's amendment, but I'd ask for a no vote. Representative Liebling.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and I just have to, again, kind of state what I think Representative Carlson said earlier, that in your spreadsheet, you have chosen to put $75 million into the rainy day fund, and the amendment that uses that money is not taking it out of the rainy day fund. It's taking it out of money that you are otherwise putting aside. So I think that people, if they're watching, need to be really clear. Unless I'm misunderstanding it, Mr. Chair, I would be happy to be corrected. But I don't think anybody is raiding our rainy day fund that is not what Representative Marquardt's amendment is doing. It's taking money that otherwise would be put into the rainy day fund, but in fact is part of the budget surplus. So if I am wrong about that, please correct me, because I am, you know, but I think that was what I understood Representative Carlson to say, and that's how I'm understanding what the spreadsheet is saying.
Okay, and Representative Liebling, let me respond to that, and I should have responded to it before. Actually, underneath current law right now, because the money originally came from the budget reserve, there's something in law that says come next fiscal year, the money that is unused by this program does go back automatically into the budget reserve. But we're basically saying, no, we're basically moving that money up a little bit and put it into the budget reserve now with this resolution. So, yes, you really are taking money from the budget reserve because this money, if we don't do anything, is going to go there under current law.
No.
Representative Liebling.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's semantics that, you know, it will go there, but it in fact is not there now. And that, you know, I think is we often quibble around here about whether we're talking about a tax or a fee, for example, and we may be arguing about that again. Who knows? But I think that it is, for people watching, we are not actually going into a fund and raiding it. We're talking about taking money that right now is part of the projected surplus.
Well, but Representative Liebling, the current law says that if we don't do anything, this money is going into the budget reserve next year, and you're going to take it and spend it on something else. I have Representative Loon, Garofalo, and Marquardt. Representative Loon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I I won't get in the weeds on the budget reserve, but just I think it's important that we, again, continue to build up the reserves and the fiscal health of the state. I know that's been an important priority of the governor, and we want to make sure that we're having a good reserve for an eventual downturn in the economy that could happen. I mean, these things are cyclical. But, you know, and I just wanted to talk a little bit. Representative Marquardt mentioned, and I know you, Mr. Chair, have proposed bills and looking at the special education funding and how we are seeing dramatically increased use, increased numbers of students, increased spending in that area, and it's something that we've been grappling with for a long time in our state. And, you know, we just have, in fact, when Representative Marquardt, Chair Marquardt, chaired the Finance Committee for Education, basically a whole new structure of special education funding was put into place. And so that hasn't been in place very long, maybe 3 or 4 years that the schools have been under this new system. And so we are still kind of adjusting to that. And I will say that in our hearings in education, both in the policy and the finance committee, we do have plans that a task force is being formed to really get a deep dive into what continues to be a provision of services for some of our students that outstrips the funding we're able to provide, and the demand continues to increase. So while I recognize the need, I think the problem is we aren't getting to the root of how we're addressing identification of students, how we're able to look at the best way of providing services to them in a way that we can get our arms around the costs. I mean, the $750 million, Representative Marquardt mentioned, some of that is the federal government. And, you know, I don't know how much we can address that. So, but if we can start to look at some of the state cross-subsidy, because that's another layer to this, we certainly want to do it. I'm just not sure it's something that we can address right now. There was more funding put in at the same time that new formula was done, too, just a few short years ago. So this is a big problem, and I don't know that a Band-Aid solution is going to be really what we need to do at this time.
Representative Garofalo.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, Representative Liebling, I am just shocked. In fact, I am shocked and appalled. For years, I have heard my friends on the other side of the aisle say that a reduction in the rate of increase is a cut. In fact, I've heard you refer to a reduction in the rate of an increase as a devastating cut. And so for you to come forward with this devastating cut to the budget reserve, I'm shocked and appalled. And Representative Liebling, as evidence, I think you really should be listening to me. I really do, because last session in this committee, I told members the Garofalo plan on bonding. You remember what it was, Representative Erdahl? I said last year we should have passed a $2 billion bonding bill, get it done, and then not come back this year. It has been the best gift we could have given the taxpayers of Minnesota. Do it right. Do it now. And you guys didn't take me up on that offer. And now here we are back again squabbling over the bonding bill. You guys should be listening to the Garofalo plan more often, and I just know that you're going to listen to me and vote no on this. No, I didn't hear from you guys. I was just kidding. But I'm a no vote on this. So.
All right. Well, let's see. Representative Liebling, your name was mentioned, so I'll recognize you, and then I'll go to Representative Marquardt.
Well, thank you. It did occur to me that there was that what you just said about whether an expected increase whether it's a cut or not, and I almost brought that up as being an inconsistency about what the chair was saying. So thank you, Representative Garofalo, because you are now on the other side of that equation. So we hopefully will not hear that from the other side again. And the other thing is that I just want to respond that perhaps you're saying it in jest, but maybe not, when you say, oh, not coming back is somehow better for the taxpayer. That assumes the only thing that helps the taxpayer is not spending money. And that is so far from the truth. You know, it would be, we could just, have no government and not spend any money. And maybe some of you think that would be a good idea. But some of us understand that investment in things like transportation, in schools, in health care. But these are things that actually build our economy and are actually better for the taxpayers. So I just wanted to kind of lay that out there in case anyone's watching.
Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Chair. And we've talked about this budget reserve a little bit. And I just, what is indisputable is that, Mr. Chair, according to the House budget resolution here, that my amendment will still leave an increase of $65 million to the reserve, about a 4% increase, according, unless this is wrong that I have here. And just the last thing, and you talk, education is a huge budget. And that's why $9 million, just a little hiccup, that can go in a hurry. And I just think it would be prudent to leave a little more wiggle room here just for something that may even occur in the next 6 weeks. But I also want to make sure that the current proposal here, $30.2 million, does cover what we need and what superintendents have been asking for to make sure our buildings are safe and secure for our students. So I just still think a $9.6 million increase on this overall budget resolution is very reasonable. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just somewhat a tongue-in-cheek comment, but I think we're beginning to sound like the Tax Committee, getting far afield from what the issue is before us, and several of us on this committee are on taxes or have been. And at any rate, I wish we would have been talking more about the purpose of the amendment to help with some of the education needs. But reverting back to get a little bit afield again, keep in mind we're on automatic pilot with the budget reserve. The November forecast, if it has a positive number, one-third of the dollars go into the budget reserve. So we're still building the budget reserve as long as we experience economic growth. And that's nothing that's insignificant. Representative or Senator Bach, myself, Lauren Solberg, we worked on that very issue a few years ago to build the reserve, and that's how we ended up with the February forecast and one-third the money going in until we spent so long, I forget, but it's $2 billion plus is what the ultimate goal is, if I recall. So we're building on the reserve, and I don't think anybody's arguing about changing the November forecast language.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will take the roll on the Marquardt A2 amendment.
Representative Knobloch.
No.
Representative Carlson.
Aye.
Representative Anderson.
No.
Representative Baker.
No.
Representative Davids.
No.
Representative Dean.
No.
Representative Detmer.
No.
Representative Drazkowski. Representative Fabian.
No.
Representative Garofalo.
No.
Representative Gunther.
No.
Representative Hamilton.
No.
Representative Hausman.
Yes.
Representative Hertas. Representative Hillstrom.
Yes.
Representative Hornstein.
Yes.
Representative Liebling.
Yes.
Representative Loon.
No.
Representative Marquardt.
Yes.
Representative Murphy. Representative Nornes.
No.
Representative Pawlowski.
Yes.
Representative Poppy.
Yes.
Representative Torkelson.
No.
Representative Erdahl.
No.
Representative Wagenius.
Yes.
There being 9 ayes and 14 nays, the A2 amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pawlowski, who's the A3 amendment. Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, I ask for a roll call vote.
There will be a roll call, Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, by adding this amount, we would allow both systems, the University of Minnesota and Minn State, to freeze tuition. Mr. Chair, we know since the Great Recession that there have been historic cuts to higher education. There have been historic tuition increases, and there is historic debt. We are unfortunately in the top 10 in higher education, and the amount of debt each student carries in Minnesota, and then the number of students that carry debt. We also know that this debt will go on, in most cases, for a decade or longer for those students. So in this amendment, we would be targeting, and I would hope that that would be the rationale that the chair would use, to target tuition and allow the systems that this is their request to freeze tuition, and we would help students alleviate a decade more or more of debt increase, Mr. Chair. So that's the amendment.
Well, thank you, Representative Pawlowski, for the amendment. I guess I'll just make it brief and say here we go again, taking money that's going to be otherwise going to the budget reserve and spending it on other areas, certainly meritorious areas, but again, taking money out of the budget reserve. You know, we didn't put money into the budget reserve this last November like we have for many years because there was at that time a forecasted deficit. And I think the bill that you worked on that put that law into effect, Representative Carlson, was a good bill. And I'm glad that it has helped build the budget reserve. And I compliment for you for your work on that. But the fact of the matter is we missed making a payment this last year. There wasn't a surplus. No payment was made to build the budget reserve. And so we are here today with our budget resolution saying let's make up for that. Let's build the budget reserve, and here we have another amendment that takes money that would otherwise go to the budget reserve. So, members, I'd ask for a no vote on the A3 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Just a brief commentary.
Sure.
You can say we're taking it from the reserve. I'm going to characterize it this way. We're taking debt off the backs of students. I think that's the vote that you're taking today. We're the ones that allowed the tuition increases to occur. We're the ones that have underfunded and cut higher education by a record amount. So I would characterize this, you want to say you're taking it out of the reserve, I would like to say we're taking debt off the back of students.
Representative Houston?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just going to ask Representative Pawlowski if he remembers the percentages. It seems to me that historically at one point we actually were doing 64% of the cost of higher education at the state level and that we're down closer to 40 now. I should know those percentages. And here's one of the outcomes that I've been reading about in the newspaper. Because the students have taken on more debt, they now suffer from food insecurity. There are students on college campuses who are deciding which meals do they skip because they don't quite have enough money to pay for all of the other expenses, just given the unexpected nature of the high costs. And I just didn't know if you happen to remember what those percentages are, but it seems to me we are at somewhat of a low
point. Mr. Chair, Representative Hausman, I'd characterize it this way. We are in a crisis for skilled labor. A lot of that skilled labor comes out of higher ed. Certainly, increasing the cost for students will not get us more skilled laborers.
Mm-hmm. Other discussion to the A3 amendment? Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will take the roll on the A3 amendment.
Representative Knobloch.
No.
Representative Carlson.
Aye.
Representative Anderson.
No.
Representative Baker.
No.
Representative Davids.
No.
Representative Dean. Representative Detmer.
No.
Representative Drazkowski. Representative Fabian.
No.
Representative Garofalo.
No.
Representative Gunther.
No.
Representative Hamilton.
No.
Representative Hausman.
Yes.
Representative Hertaus. Representative Hillstrom.
Yes.
Representative Hornstein.
Yes.
Representative Liebling.
Yes.
Representative Loon.
No.
Representative Marquardt.
Yes.
Representative Murphy. Representative Nornes.
No.
Representative Pawlowski.
Yes.
Representative Poppy.
Yes.
Representative Torkelson. No. Representative Erdahl.
No.
Representative Wagenius.
Yes.
There being 9 ayes and 14 nays, the A3 amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments?
Discussion.
Discussion. And members, before we get to discussion, I'm going to call for a roll call on the budget resolution. Representative Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't offer an amendment about the public safety area, but members, that is one of the areas that usually is bipartisan, and I would note that there is a significant difference between what the governor put forward for public safety and what this budget resolution does put forward, and I'm concerned about that. But, Mr. Chair, one of the things that I want to make sure that we do fund will really save taxpayers a lot of money in the future. Senate File 2620 is the pension bill, and it passed the Senate floor 66-0. Members, what that would do is it cuts $6 billion in liability for this state for pensions, $3 billion in savings to school districts, $2 billion in savings to the state, and $1 billion to cities and counties. I believe that at the end of the day, we should do that, and we should make sure that it was named in the resolution. But, members, that would be the equivalent of $2 billion in cuts to liability for the state's pension that would pay for two bonding bills. And so, Mr. Chair, I hope that at the end of the day that bill becomes law.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When you were doing the environment and natural resources area, you said that the $750,000 would be for dealing with the chronic wasting disease issue. But that's less than half of what the DNR asked for. And the DNR is telling us right now that their current workload, because of CWD, will not, they can't do what they need to do. So doing half of what they are asking for, does that mean we're going to, so let me give you an example of what they do. 100 deer will escape from deer farms each year. That's the average. And DNR gets them, most of them, and they need to, because we have chronic wasting diseases in areas like Representative David's. So if you're giving them half the money, does that mean that we'll only aim for half those deer? Which tells me that we're aiming for kind of the Wisconsin style of management for CWD. Is that where we're going?
Well, Representative Wagenius, I guess I don't know exactly what the plans of the Environment Committee are for dealing with the chronic wasting disease issue. My proposal is to put an additional $750,000 toward that committee so they have some more resources to deal with it. They may well decide that they have other funds in other places that they can access to do still more than the $750,000 with it. I guess I'm not on the committee as a regular member, so I don't know all of what their plans are or, of course, what they're going to be. But I do know that there's a problem there, and so I felt that it was appropriate to put some additional money toward it. And I'll recognize the chair of the Environment Committee in a little bit, but Representative Wagenius, go ahead.
Well, let me follow up. I mean, there are folks who've suggested that we use the Game and Fish Fund to fill in that hole, but that what you're doing then is asking folks who are hunters, deer hunters, to pay for a problem they did not create. So I don't, we can either go the management, Wisconsin management style, which is I kind of hear what's going on, or we could ask deer hunters, to pay for a problem they didn't create. So I don't know which course of action, and maybe Representative Fabian can tell us.
You know, I'll recognize Representative Fabian, Representative Wagenius, because I don't know what you mean by the Wisconsin model. I don't know what that is, and so I certainly am not proposing to fund it. But I'll recognize Representative Fabian, the Environment Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, members, the chronic wasting disease situation in Minnesota is something that we're trying to stay ahead of. There are three different state agencies that have responsibility for detecting and making sure that we're dealing with chronic wasting. And I know Chair Hamilton and I and Chair Anderson have had conversations about the role of the Board of Animal Health and the Department of Ag and the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. I've had conversations with Commissioner Landwehr about this situation. And if you remember last year, we fully funded the DNR. The people who are charged with managing this in the DNR are out there. Their expenses are paid for. I've told the commissioner that from my perspective, it's a matter of priorities. If the COs are the ones who are going to be responsible for doing inspections and so forth, they're fully funded. And there are no provisions that I'm aware of from DNR's request to hire more COs to do this. And if it is, it's going to take a while to get to that point. So from my perspective, the 750 that we have available to us to do this is there for us. But the other thing that we're waiting for, and it will come out a week from today, is the OLA's report. The Office of the Legislative Auditor is going to be releasing a report next Friday, I believe, on the 20th. And I'm very much looking forward to that to see what the recommendations are there with regards to what Board of Animal Health and DNR have been doing up until this point. So once we get to that point, we'll probably be able to make more informed decisions. There have been some situations going on within the agencies back and forth, a lot of finger-pointing about who's at fault and who's not. If you look in Chapter 35.155, I believe it is, DNR has not taken much of a role in this up until now, but they have a lot of statutory authority for checking and doing different things. And up until this point, I don't believe that they've been doing what I consider to be an effective job. So we can have the conversation. We will have it next week in committee when we unveil our bill. And Representative Wagenius, you know that this is an issue that's near and dear to me. I am a deer hunter. I belong to the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. And quite frankly, for me personally, I wouldn't mind if a dollar or two out of the fees that I pay for deer hunting, we're going to help with assistance with regards giving assistance to the Board of Animal Health to help mitigate this situation. So, thank you.
Representative Wiedens.
Well, first of all, let us put it on the table that DNR is very clearly saying that even though they got an appropriation last year, the problem is bigger than they can pay for. I mean, they've got, in Fillmore County, they had, 17 deer tests for chronic wasting disease.
How's it going?
Sorry about that. Representative Wagenius, can you speak into the microphone?
Well, I just point out that DNR can't anticipate how many deer are going to escape from a deer farm in every year, and they may be off. I mean, let's be realistic here. So they ran into a problem in Fillmore County, had 17 deer that were infected. So they had to expend their money early. That's not default DNR. They saw the situation and they tried to meet it. And they're now telling us we don't have the money we're running out of money. Let's be realistic. Secondly, you can say we're going to get an OLA report, but OLA is not going to help with the funding. And just from their past history, OLA does not delve into the science of what's happening right now. So I would be very surprised if OLA would tell us that science right now is telling us those prions that are in the soil We don't know how long they're going to last, but the now science is telling us they're going to last a lot longer than we knew. So if we look at a deer farm that was infected, we're going to have to put a double fence around that and make sure it's maintained for years because we don't know. So we can, this is real, and we can't pretend other than to say, well, deer farmers, deer hunters, even though you didn't cause the problem, we're going to want you to pay for it. I do not think that's fair.
Representative Hamilton.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll tell you what's not fair is to automatically blame survey farmers. This is a highly regulated industry, and it seems like it's very easy right away to blame agriculture for everything, particular or specifically this day and age. However, I like what the chair of the Environment Committee is saying as far as waiting for the OLA report to come out so we can make a more informed decision on this. But again, I'll remind everybody, this is a highly, highly regulated industry. And again, let's wait for the OLA report. We are committed to have a hearing on this once that report comes out, and then we can make more informed decisions.
Representative Guineas.
Well, let me just respond by saying it may be highly regulated. Nonetheless, 100 each year seem to escape from these farms, and DNR right now has to deal with them. That's just the reality. That is the reality.
Any other discussion? Representative Carlson.
I was just going to say, Mr. Chairman, you know, a budget reflects it's a document that reflects our priorities, and we tried to be here this evening with a few amendments to restructure the priorities that we were presented with. We could have gone further. There were other important issues, but we did choose to be selective, and we tried to improve the budget resolution by putting some more funds into K-12 and higher education and infrastructure. We dealt with three very important areas. And so I am a bit disappointed with the budget that's before us, and even more disappointed that the minority wasn't listened to on providing some input in trying to establish important priorities for the Minnesota House of Representatives. So, Mr. Chairman, I don't have any further comments other than we were selective in what we chose to put before you this evening, and it would have been good to have had some of those amendments adopted.
Well, thank you, Representative Carlson, and certainly it's your right to put forward amendments, and we appreciate your ideas in the committee. We don't agree and didn't agree with the particular three ideas that you brought forward this evening. But members, I think that the budget resolution we have before us should deserve a yes vote. You know, if you vote against this budget resolution tonight, you're voting against money that we need for safe schools in the state, both in the additional funding that we're putting into education and the additional funding that we're putting forward into the bonding bill. If you vote against this budget this evening, this budget resolution, you're voting against the tax cuts, the allocation of the tax committee that we need that helps fund the tax conformity that we really need to get through this legislature. If you vote against this budget resolution this evening, you know, you're voting against the $10 million we need to give to the people who work with our disabled Minnesotans in this state who are otherwise going to get a 7% cut because of what the federal government did with their CMS agency this last year. If you vote against this budget resolution, you're voting against $101 million of new spending for building roads and bridges in this state. And I think everyone here obviously agrees, Representative Carlson and myself, that we do need more funding to support our infrastructure. And here we're putting forward a significant amount of money in a non-budget year for roads and bridges. If you're in rural Minnesota, I hear people concerned about broadband. If you vote against this resolution tonight, you're voting against a significant new amount of money for broadband. We've got other money set aside in other bills that can deal with other issues like pensions that you would be voting against if you vote against this budget resolution this evening. And finally, as has been discussed, we're proposing to put $75 million more into the budget reserve. And if you vote against this evening, you're voting against the fiscal prudence of building that budget reserve that I think we need to be doing, especially because no payment was made this last November as it has normally been made. And so, members, I hope you will support the budget resolution, the BRES-01 resolution, and I ask for and request that the roll be called.
Representative Knobloch.
Yes.
Representative Carlson.
No.
Representative Anderson.
Yes.
Representative Baker.
Aye.
Representative Davids.
Yes.
Representative Dean.
Yes.
Representative Detmer.
Yes.
Representative Drazkowski. Representative Fabian.
Yes.
Representative Garofalo.
Yes.
Representative Gunther.
Yes.
Representative Hamilton.
Yes.
Representative Hausman.
No.
Representative Hertas.
Yes.
Representative Hillstrom.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Liebling.
No.
Representative Loon.
Yes.
Representative Marquardt.
Yes.
Representative Murphy. Representative Nornes.
Yes.
Representative Pawlowski.
Yes.
Representative Poppy.
Yes.
Representative Torkelson.
Yes.
Representative Erdahl.
Yes.
Representative Wagenius.
No.
There being 18 ayes and 6 nays, the budget resolution 01 is adopted. Members, we have no other business I know of for this evening. We will have a meeting on Monday morning at our usual time. We'll be sending out an agenda for tomorrow. An agenda sometime tomorrow. I would expect there would be a number of other bills that have come to the committee, but I don't have a list yet, so watch your emails for that. If there are no other questions, thank you. The meeting is